the national government, Congress can pass a law on essential...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of you out there in the listening audience, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and of course we take your calls. I'll start talking, and then if you have something you'd like to talk about, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But certainly we are living in momentous times. The world we have known is gone, and it's not going to be coming back again. And you must understand that the whole economy of the world is collapsing. Factory output is collapsing at a tremendous pace. If you go over to Taiwan, year on year, factory output in Taiwan is down 43%, and the Ukraine is down 34%. In Japan, the second largest economy in the entire world, factory output is down 30%, 29% in the Singapore, 23% in Hungary, Sydney, 20% in Sweden, 19% in Korea, 18% in Turkey, Russia's down 16%, down 15% in Spain. Now, this is factory output, and we can go right on down the line. Actually, we're only down 10% here in the United States, but, of course, what we're seeing is the collapse of the economies all throughout the world. Well, right now we've got Steve calling from Illinois, and again our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's Open Line Wednesday, and we'd love to hear from you. How are you doing, Steve?
Fine. I'm mighty fine, thank you.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, if you'll forgive me, I listened last night. I listen almost every night, whether I call in or not, with a little incredulity. When you're speaking on Leslie Stahl and the Supreme Court Chief One, and I was, I had some takes on that I wanted to share.
All right, fine. I'll go right ahead. What was your take?
Okay. I listened with you speaking, and it's almost like you've kind of gotten caught up with a tad of liberal versus conservative in this country. And I don't believe there's anything like that going on, especially since Reagan IV has taken place. It's just pure theft, and these people need to be jailed like yesterday. And, you know, Leslie Stahl did back, what's his name, the court guy you were talking about, the Supreme Court?
You're talking about Scalia?
Scalia.
She accused him of being an originalist, as if there was something called that.
Yeah, but...
Go right ahead. She accused him of being an originalist. In other words, is there something wrong with believing the Constitution? She was very gracious, but she put him into a totally defensive position, exactly as she did 2 weeks ago with a gentleman who headed a steel plant here who wanted to have tariffs to protect American steel. And she said, "Why, you're a protectionist." And she said that, you know, almost like, how could you possibly be wanting to protect American jobs? And her accusation of Scalia was basically, and if you say, I don't know whether you saw it or not, but I did, and she said, "Well, you are an originalist," as if there's something wrong with believing in the Constitution.
Right. And, you know, but the thing that got me was she did back him in the corner, and like I've seen several of these high professional so-called people, and the best that they can come up with, and she did a pretty good job, though, and he said, "Well, that was my decision, and that's just the way I felt.
Well, I think that he should have actually been a little bit more aggressive and said, I believe in the Constitution. I've sworn to uphold it. Do you believe in the Constitution? But you see, he didn't do that. He let her push him around. I wish he had been a little bit more positive in his dealing with what I believe was an effort to discredit anyone who believes in the Constitution and believe it says what it says.
I've seen him do so many things, though, Doctor, that, you know, it violates the Constitution, him and many others, I don't believe these people anymore. They're in for, I don't know what it is, and then when we saw the so-called liberal wing of the Supreme Court, all four of them go for eminent domain and really aggressively, I mean, whoever would have ever thought that their so-called political take would allow that? You know, and Doctor, I told you about it was in the trillions with the Bush administration missing defense armaments, and they either won't account for them or can't account for them. And I want to share with you, do you know, I wonder how many people realize in this country, as we speak, the corporate tax that is paid. Now, I guess 28%, 35%, whatever, but the loopholes allowed them that they only pay for a $3.4 trillion budget outgo, allows only them to pay in $200 billion is all they pay by the time they have their lawyers go through the loopholes in that. And I don't think people realize that. They keep calling for lower corporate taxes. Why, they want them to pay nothing, I guess. Hold that,
Steve. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty, and we'll continue the discussion. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Steve from Illinois is calling in, and he is concerned because, of course, the corporations, he says, they find a lot of loopholes out of the $3.5 trillion budget. They are paying in about $200 billion a year. Now, I don't know those figures, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if that weren't the case, because, of course, you have to understand that they have designed the Internal Revenue Code to favor certain people of great wealth. Many of them don't pay any taxes at all. In fact, Warren Buffett recently commented that his secretary paid higher taxes than he did. Here's Warren Buffett, a multi-billionaire, but he doesn't pay taxes. There are always means of getting around the taxes. And every time we hear them saying, oh my goodness, look at these people, they're making so much money, why, what we got to do is pass a new series of laws, you know, so that they will pay their fair share, and the rest of the people, of course, won't have to pay so much. Whatever they say that, you hang on to your hat, because basically, when Barack Obama says, why, I'm only going to tax the wealthy, those who are making, well, individuals over $200,000 a year, or those, you know, who are with couples making $250,000 a year, we're going to raise their tax rate up to about 39% federal, and then, of course, whatever state tax they're going to have to pay, here in California, the other 10%, but it's only for the very wealthy. Understand that within a couple of years, with inflation, you'll be paying 39% tax. That's what happened for the alternative minimum tax. And this is the tool that tyrants use, class warfare. Oh, we got to get those rich guys, but of course we want to help you. Go right ahead, Steve. And our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. And you're absolutely right. They do have all sorts of loopholes for the corporations. In fact, if you actually pack up your factory and move it over to China or some other country, you don't have to pay any taxes. Do you think that's going to encourage people to move out of the country or keep the jobs here and keep America strong? Go ahead.
Okay, you know, and I'm so ever happy to hear the following you're gaining, because the people have got to get the truth. And we got to get this shadow government. I don't care about liberal, so-called conservative, Democrat, Republican. This shadow government is just taking us down. And I'm afraid that if we don't get on top of that, we're just going to be doomed for whatever they just lead us around by the nose.
Well, all right, Steve, but who is the shadow government? Can you name them? Can you tell me how they work and who they are?
Well, I'm a little bit more versed into personal things. And I'm one to, you know, my father was born in Jerusalem, Israel, many years ago. He's still alive. He's pretty far out in Nevada way. And he's not happy with Israel. He loves Israel. He just cannot stand their leaders. And, you know, just like in this country.
Steve, well, let's talk about the shadow government. There is a shadow government. There has always been a shadow government. I mean, originally they worked through the great financial houses. Certainly starting in about 1921, they worked through the Council on Foreign Relations. And that was really the major coordinating organization until about 1954, when they organized the Bilderbergers, which incorporated the people in Europe as well as the people here in the United States. And then, of course, in 1973, they organized the Trilateral Commission, and that is just about at the top of the apex. And here you see the people and members of the Trilateral Commission today, and there are only 87 of them Americans in the Northern California chapter, and yet they control the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. They control Goldman Sachs Bank. They control a Citicorp Bank. They control a number of the major funds here in the United States. And they, of course, the Warburg Fund, which ties into the old Warburg holdings. But then, of course, you get the Council on Foreign Relations. That's where Bank of America and Wells Fargo and all of the other major banks are. And the truth of the matter is, of course, you've got a small group of people, 87 people in the Trilateral Commission. They control the major media. They control the major banks. And of course, they control the Obama administration, but they control the Bush administration before that and the Clinton administration before that. And since 1976, every president and or vice president of the United States has come from the very small little clique we know as the Trilateral Commission. And I hope you read my newsletter, Steve, and I hope you'll help us to get the information out, because it's all in. I hope you'll go to my January newsletter. If you don't subscribe, it'll be up on the internet very shortly. Get the information and then help us to get it out. It's all a scam. It doesn't matter whether Republicans or Democrats are in power. The same people wield the reins of power. Anything else, Steve, before I let you go? We've got some other callers.
Okay. Super K, Henry Kissinger is one of them. And Doctor, I'm so happy you're there. And God bless you, and keep up the good work. And I'll talk to you again.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling. That was Steve from Illinois. Let's go to Kathy, who's calling from Oregon. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Kathy. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
Are you listening to us on shortwave or internet?
Internet.
Okay, fine. Go right ahead.
Well, when I go through your catalog, I'll be interested in this particular book or CD or something. And in the back of the catalog, it's got a section of specials. And so I like to buy those specials because you not only get the one you're looking for, but you'll include, you know, three or four other things in there also.
Well, you know, that's marketing. Of course, we make a profit. I'd rather sell more and make less, but of course, make it.
I got one of those specials, and I'm just trying to get. Well, I got about five of them, and I'm just sort of finishing them up. And I just opened this one up to my husband and I yesterday, and we listened all day long, and it was on the secret government. And you know, Steve, that was just talking to you, might be good for him to pick that up from you, the secret government. And I couldn't believe I was listening to Carol Quigley actually talking.
Wasn't that an amazing tape? You know, I found that tape when I was going through Professor Quigley's papers at the bottom of a box there. And fortunately, when I went through Professor Quigley's papers back at Georgetown University in 1980, nobody had gone through them and extracted the important things. So I got everything before it could be destroyed. And that is that interview with Professor Quigley. I purchased the right to use it from his wife, his widow, and we put out literally thousands of copies of Professor Quigley telling about how his book was suppressed.
And the one CD there, you went through the whole history, everything. Steve would love to hear that. And you spoke a lot about the foundation, the Carnegie and the Ford and all that. Well, my question then is, could you speak a little bit on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? That's more of a current entity that's out there, and I've got a real liberal friend, and she's always saying what wonderful things Bill and Melinda Gates are doing, and I can't really answer because
I
don't know anything about them, and I haven't heard you mention it.
All right, fine. Well, first of all, we have a wonderful DVD. It's a talk given by Dr. David Ayoub, and he's a practicing radiologist back in Illinois. The tape is called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. And basically he goes into, of course, the danger of mercury-containing vaccines and the fact that they are being given to children all throughout Africa. And one of the major funders of that is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But he points out that they're primarily interested in population control. So why would they be funding saving children's lives if they want to reduce the population? And then he goes on to point out, of course, that mercury is a deadly poison, and one of the things it does is poison fertility. And, of course, the other thing it does destroys the mind. But basically what they're doing is funding a terrible epidemic of autism, and they're funding, of course, a terrible epidemic of infertility in the next generation. And, of course, the mercury poisons not only the reproduction in the children, but in their children and their children's children. So that's one thing that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is doing. Another is they are one of the major funders for the World Goodwill. I think that's it. It's one of the two major fronts for the Lucis Trust. Now, have you been up on the Lucis Trust website?
No, I hear you talk about it.
Do you have access to a computer?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have. You're listening on the Internet. Okay. Go to lucistrust.org. Or here's how you get to the site. Type in Lucis Trust, Lucifer, Lucifer's Trust and Lucifer. Google that in, and of course you'll get to their site, and they'll tell you all about how wonderful Lucifer is. This is the Lucis Trust, and they're telling you that Lucifer just got a bad rap. And there's another reference there. You can go to another site, and it says if you want to know really about Lucifer, just go to this site. And so you want those two sites. Now, basically one of the major funders of the fronts for the Lucis Trust is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We actually have their information, and I don't know whether it's still up there. It's either Goodwill or a new group of world servers, but you can go to them and look under funders, and if you can't find it, we've got that put aside. You have to understand that they're funding everything evil, one of the most evil organizations in the world. Why would they do that? Well, it could be that Bill Gates is a stupid individual, or it could be that he has contact with the other side, and this is why he is a multi-billionaire. He's tapped into that secret knowledge, of which, of course, is there, and you can tap into it, but you certainly don't want to be involved in that, because it involves this ancient faith of Gnosticism and believing that there is another God. The real God of the world, and that's Lucifer. And you can tap into that source, you can get tremendous wealth, but you certainly don't want to do that. Anything else, Kathy?
Well, I just wanted to say one other thing. I mentioned this one time before when I talked to you about the China tape, and I just want to recommend to anybody that's listening tonight to get the China tape.
Fine.
I think the China tape just got so clearly what could happen to us, and Reverend Mellon was just shocked when he found out how many people were planned.
Hold on. Well, we have Kathy on the line. Kathy, I appreciate your thoughts. Do you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Right. I was just saying about the China tapes, and I just...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
8-4-8-2-9-5. And of course, we are seeing a total destruction of our society. Ambrose Edmund Fisher, who's certainly one of my favorite writers, he actually was with the Sunday Telegraph. He was a senior reporter in Washington, D.C., there during the Clinton administration. I had a chance to interview him a number of times on Bill Clinton, the murder of Vince Foster, because he was murdered. He didn't commit suicide. In fact, Ambrose Evans Pritchard was getting so much good information about the murder of Vince Foster, and of course it was pointing right at Hillary and Bill Clinton, who'd killed one of their best friends, but then of course you don't ever dare cross people like that. But the story is, I can't verify it, but the pressure was put on the Sunday Telegraph to have him go back to Great Britain. So he's back there and he writes regularly on economic issues. And you can always Google in, to put his name in, Ambrose Evans Pritchard, Sunday Telegraph, and pull down his articles. But this is how he starts out. As ordinary citizens with no power over the levers of policy, we watch from the sidelines and weep. The whole global economy is tipped into a downward spiral. Trade and output are contracting at rates that outstrip the leisurely depression of the 1930s. debt deflation is simply washed over the drastic measures taken by the governments elsewhere. Judging by the latest Merrill Lynch survey of fund managers, investors have a touting faith that China is somehow going to rescue us and reignite the commodity boom, but how can that be? Taiwan exports to China fell 55% in January of this year. Japan's exports to China fell 45%. Those exports are links to the supply chain for China's industry. Manufacturing output at the Shanghai region fell 12% in January. And of course, we've early gone over what's going on in China. They have over 20 million people unemployed. They've shut down well over 100,000 factories. I mean, the whole Chinese economy is collapsing, but it's not just in China. It's throughout the rest of the world, and we're really far better off than most of the other countries. But don't you worry. Our leaders are trying to give you the impression that they're trying to counteract what's happening, and nothing could be further from the truth. They do not intend to solve the problem. There is a wonderful YouTube presentation. We have it on our website, RadioLiberty.com. Should be posted, but you can actually pull it down by simply typing in YouTube, Ron Paul, Paul Volcker, and you'll actually hear Ron Paul asking Paul Volcker, well, you know, the world is collapsing. Are there any international meetings going on to try to correct the problems we face? And are you involved? He's saying this to Paul Volcker. And Paul Volcker's response was, no, no. In other words, there's no international meetings going on, and I'm not involved in them. Now, this is the chief economic advisor to the President of the United States, the permanent president of the Northern California, the North American chapter, the Trilateral Commission, the people who really run things. Paul Volcker is the former chairman of the Fed. He's belongs to all the elitist groups, CFR, Bilderbergers. He's one of the movers and shakers of the world. And he tells us that there are no meetings going on to try to correct things, which means that they're not trying to solve the problem. He's either lying, but I rather think it's true. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're trying to give you the impression they're trying to solve the problem because they want to destroy our society. In fact, sometime soon I hope to have a woman on to talk about an interview with a man named Maurice Strong, one of the richest men in the world, multi-billionaire, very close to the Rockefellers, who gave an interview probably in the early 1990s to a reporter who had gone to La Boca Grande, the occult satanic center that Maurice Strong had created in Colorado. And Maurice Strong told the reporter that he sort of dreamed of a time when, of course, the financial leaders of the world would get together and say, well, you know, people are destroying the world. We've got to do something about it. Tell the countries they're going to have to cut back on the level of living standards of all the people. But he said the people won't do it. Countries won't do it. So the leading people in the world form a secret society. They intend to set out to destroy the economy of the world. Now, we actually got the article. It's in West Magazine. We'll make that available. So anybody who wants to read it, of course, it's laid out in our sustainable development syllabus. And we simply quote, as Maurice Strong talked about the secret society he dreamed of that would destroy the economy of the world. I wonder if that's what they're doing today. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Right now, we've got Andrew. From Coeur d'Alene, we'll talk to him. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Again, our number 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we've got Andrew calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm doing fine. Dr. Stan, I have a couple of comments I'd like to bring up in terms of the economics of our present situation and literally how we're literally decapitalizing. And I'm not talking about the idea of losing our social, you know, that we're turning more in socialism. I'm talking about strictly from economics. We're literally losing our economic muscle mass. You know,
no, I think
I kind of liken it to if somebody was in their early 20s, and their muscle mass. Now we're somewhere in our late 90s in terms of our capital opportunities of investment. And I bring that to discussion in just a couple of comments, and this is it. I was a market maker in the dot-com bubble, and, you know, people were trading stocks with growth multiple in mind. Stocks just gapped up like with absolute no rhyme or reason. And those were amazing times. But when that bubble collapsed, you know, we basically reflect on that dot-com bubble as though it were catastrophic. And the reality of it was only one sector in our domestic market. That sector was not global in any way. It didn't affect the mortar companies. It didn't affect the blue chip companies. It didn't affect emerging markets. And even the sell-off that we saw with Alan Greenspan when he was characterizing our markets as being irrationally exuberant, that was essentially our domestic market. The foreign markets were still, you know, very, let's say, underwhelmed, and investment capital flowed into foreign markets, and again, blue chip companies still held their ground. But really, the capital market sell-off that we're seeing today, in the last 2 months, we saw $1.8 trillion worth of stock market value disappear, just in our domestic market alone. And this particular sell-off is simultaneous to a global sell-off. It affects every sector and every market. And additionally, our real estate values are collapsing. So, you know, when you were making that comment earlier about we're not coming back, you know, I don't know that we can't come back. But one thing I can say is I have no idea if it could ever be in my lifetime. I mean, how in the world can we ever get back? You know, this situation is really, really troubling.
All right, hold that thought. You know, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have Andrew calling from Coeur d'Alene, and of course Andrew's pointing out that certainly wealth is just disappearing, certainly as the stock market drops. Why, this is wealth that is just disappearing. As the value of home has fallen, it's wealth that's disappearing. And the truth of the matter is, it is not wealth. This is all an illusion, basically. It's created by credit intentionally with nothing behind it. You ran the stock market up to 14,000, but there is nothing, no reason for going there other than this exuberance, which was actively encouraged by what I believe was the plunge protection team to get people in, and a lot of people were getting into the stock market and making a fortune. And that is, the stock market was allowed to deflate and to fall. And we have something called the Working Group on Financial Markets, which is an official government agency, and its job is to manipulate the price of the stock market, to manipulate the price of commodities and gold and silver. Go up on the Internet if you don't believe it's there. It was created during the Reagan administration, and they can manipulate the stock market. If you and I tried to do something like that, it would be illegal. But when these people do it, of course, if you know what they're going to do, you can, you know, make a fortune, and I'm sure that their friends make a fortune. But, of course, it's all has to do with playing games with our mind. Basically, Andrew, you pointed out that we lost a $1.5 trillion in the stock market. Worldwide, somewhere between $30 and $60 trillion of credit has simply disappeared. But it's not wealth. Wealth is something that is produced by manufacturing or certainly timber or minerals or things of that sort. This is all the artificial wealth that is created by this whole economic system that was designed to enrich the wealthy and to impoverish the people, because this has been tried really dozens of times down through the centuries, and it has always collapsed, and the system is collapsing today, and they know it's collapsing because they intend to destroy the economy of our nation and the economy of the world and take us into this one world government. This is what it's all about. But anyway, go ahead, Andrew. We've got a couple of
calls. I have one follow-up thought on that, and that is very well put, Stan. And as I initiated my conversation, I mentioned that I was a dot-com bubble as a market maker. And I told you how the stocks were trading at P.E. multiples, and there was a growth multiple involved with how stocks were trading that was artificial. Well, my point that ends this thought here is that at this point, when our GDP is contracting at the rate that it's contracting, there is no growth multiple that you can factor into any corporate E in the P.E. or the earnings ratio of companies. So when irrational exuberance catapulted our stock markets to lofty heights that were unreasonable, at this point, with this deleveraging, this de-muscle mass issue of our, literally, our potential to go to the bank with your statement and maybe even, you know, let's just say capitalize on what, even if it was fiction, at least it was on paper, it felt real.
Okay.
And you could do something with it.
Well,
at this point, the way this market is trading and our GDP is contracting, this situation could sell off, let's say, unbelievably more from here. If we see GDP contracting at this rate, it could be off the charts.
I think we have to realize the stock market's going a lot lower. How do we know that? Because you have to have a price-earnings ratio that's somewhere around 15, 10 to 15. And right now, the price-earnings ratio of most of the S&P stocks is about 25, which means, of course, they're going to continue falling and contracting till they have some relationship between value and the price of the stock. And I think we've got a long way to go. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Andrew. Appreciate your remarks. And let's go to Robert, who's calling from Pittsburgh, California, not Pennsylvania. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Robert, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Glad you got that right. I was wondering, have you read the articles of Confederation?
I'll have to admit that I have not.
Well, there's an article in there that kind of got to me. Article 5, where it says that they elect delegates annually, and that they have a right to recall the delegates.
All right, fine. For our listeners out there who do not know what the Articles of Confederation are, these were the original articles drawn up by the 13 colonies after the Revolutionary War, perhaps even during the Revolutionary War. It was a least confederation of sovereign states, 13 sovereign states. And they feared concentration of power with government, and so they did not want a powerful government. Of course, Robert's pointing out that the representatives were not elected every 2 years as we elect our congressmen. They were elected every year, and if they got on the line, they could be recalled. I wish we had something like that today. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, no, I just wanted to get your opinion on that, what you thought about that.
I think it's a great idea. You see, basically, there were two views at that time. One is that they wanted a pure democracy. Boy, they wanted a people who represent the people. And then, of course, you'd get these people who would be, could be recalled at any time, and they would only serve for 1 year, they could be recalled. The other was that you needed some stability in government. And then there was a conflict between the people in small states who wanted more representation and the people in large states who wanted to decrease the representation of the small states. And that's why they created a bicameral legislature. The House of Representatives, which would be represented proportional to the number of people, and then the Senate, which would actually have two representatives from each state not elected by the people, because they did not want a democracy, to be elected by the states to represent the states, and the states could recall them any time they wanted to, but they would ordinarily serve for a period of 6 years. So, of course, those people who wanted to create a dictatorship in America realized you'd do that by establishing a democracy, and that's why they passed, well, they didn't really pass the 17th Amendment, but they convinced the public it passed, and that gave direct election to senators, so that today, instead of having the finest senators that the states could send to Washington, D.C., we have the finest senators that money could buy. And they are bought and purchased by people of great wealth who put them in power and provide the money for them and reward them well for the betrayal and treachery of their obligation to support our Constitution. Anything else you want to ask, Robert?
Well said, Stan. Well said. Thank you very much.
God bless and thanks very much. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Stan. I wonder if I could share with you and the audience six sentences from the words of Foster Bailey.
All right, you go right ahead. Now, would you like to tell our listeners who Foster Bailey was?
Yeah, Foster Bailey was Alice Bailey's second husband, 32nd degree Freemason.
Also, they were deeply involved in theosophy and the occult. I mean, these are people who worship Lucifer. So why don't you go ahead and read from Foster Bailey?
He became the national secretary of the Theosophical Society. They were married in 1921, and Foster Bailey died in 1977. This is just, as I said, six sentences from his book titled Running God's Plan, published by the Lucis Trust in 1972. And just so you know, Stan, as I read this, they will be hissing at us and casting spells. He says, this is on the topic of our economy now. He says, the financial department of hierarchical work is the latest to be organized in point of time. Now, the word hierarchy, my words now, appears in here a couple of times, and it's regarding the Luciferian hierarchy and the Maitreya and the Antichrist, etc. There's another passage I could read, but it's too much for one phone call like this. So you have to understand this from a Luciferian perspective. Sentence number two now. The workers in this field have been spoken of as the custodians of the means whereby man can live on the physical plane. They are occupied with worldwide economic problems and also with the basic materialism to be found in the modern world. The problems of barter and exchange, the significance and use of money, the production of right attitudes towards material living, and the entire process of right distribution of the world's resources are among the many problems dealt with by this group of economists and financiers. Their work is most carefully planned by the hierarchy. Today, many men of financial stature regard money as a responsibility to be dispersed wisely for the service of others. Among such men are found leaders in the hierarchical financial group. And I could go on.
No, I think I think what you have read is very, very important. First of all, let me put our number out, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But what Mark is quoting is from Foster Bailey, who is a Luciferian. And, of course, what people have to understand, there really are people who worship Lucifer. And he's telling you quite openly in this statement that that basically there is a hierarchy of people who are control the wealth of the world, and they're planning our economic future. Well, now, I personally believe that that group really does exist, and I believe that they have intentionally precipitated the current financial collapse because they want, of course, to introduce this new world order, this new world financial system that Henry Kissinger's and the others write about. But along with that, they want to introduce the new world leader. And I don't know if you heard our interview, I think you did, with Constance Cumby yesterday, as she talked about the fact that if you read the writings of these people involved in the occult, involved in the secret societies, and the secret societies are Luciferian, and they're talking about how this financial crisis is going to give them the opportunity to usher in this new world order and the new world leader. So certainly they could be lying. I don't think that they are. I think this whole thing is contrived. It's very obvious that they could have done many, many things to have headed it off. They're not trying to stop it. They have no intention of stopping it. They're going to simply destroy our economy. And, of course, millions more will be thrown out of work. And millions, of course, will lose everything they've worked for, their pensions, their insurance policies, their annuities, the value of their stocks and bonds. In fact, Most people are going to lose most of what they have, and if you have a mortgage on your house and you lose your job, how will you possibly pay for it? We're in for very difficult times, Mike, and I agree, and I share your concern, because we can point to the people in the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, to the Bilderbergers, as to what they're doing, but it still doesn't make sense unless we understand that behind them are these powerful spiritual forces. They're not imaginary. You can go to the Lucis Trust website and you type in, to go there, Lucis Trust and Lucifer, and then, of course, Google that in and you'll be amazed what you find when you get there at the Lucis Trust website. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, we just need to know that these people are on a mission. They believe completely in what they're doing. It's a lifetime mission for them, even much more so. It's passed, it's generational. It's passed on from one generation to the next, father to son, and I guess mother to daughter. But they don't quit, and they have gained control. It's financial control. By owning people through, well, any kind of means that they can gain, largely through immoral activity, they can control others, such as is what is going on in Congress right now. This is why they're able to get such votes as they're interested in these days. Putting the nation in hock forever in these last two bailout bills, without even the Congress reading the legislation that they're voting on. What in the world is going on when that kind of a thing can happen in the supposedly the freest nation on earth, the greatest nation that ever existed on the planet? How can this be?
Well, very, very simple. We were told there was a tremendous urgency. We had to pass that legislation. It had to pass that very day. People could not have the time to read the legislation. It was too urgent. And then once the legislation was enacted, why, of course, it took 4 or 5 days. Barack Obama took a leisurely trip to Colorado so he could sign the bill in Colorado. Why didn't he sign it that same day in the White House? Because there was no urgency at all. And
well,
I
no.
also think there was probably a great deal of spiritual significance
yes.
to the site he visited in Colorado, and, of course, there's tremendous occult significance to that region. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But I really think, and I'm going to let you comment on this, Mike, because I know you're right up on this, people have to understand that so many of our leaders have been involved in the occult. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry Truman were both Masons, but we know that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was deeply involved in the occult, as was Harry Truman. In fact, according to an article we have by Arthur Schlesinger, Harry Truman kept in his pocket all of his life certainly a poem that was written about the coming world government. For I dipped into the future, far as any eye could see, saw a vision of the world, and all the wonders would be, heard the heavens filled with shouting, and the rain to ghastly dew, of the nations, airy nations, grappling in the central blue, till the war drums throbbed no longer, and the battlefields were furled in the Parliament of Man, and the Federation of the World. And that Harry Truman kept that poem with him all of his life, according to Schlesinger. We have the article. And then, of course, we know that certainly Richard Nixon was involved in the occult. LBJ was certainly a Mason involved in the occult. Gerald Ford, certainly. Both Ronald Reagan and his wife were involved in astrology. Certainly Hillary Clinton was bringing mediums into the White House to actually conjure up spirits. People do not understand that most of our leaders today are involved in the occult. Both George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. belonged to the Skull and Bone Society, where they took an oath to Lucifer, which is why when George Bush was asked by Tim Russert about the Skull and Bone Society, he said, oh, it's so secret, I can't discuss it. This is what we're up against. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, the signing of this recent bailout a few weeks ago was done at a point on the planet that was occultically crucial. It had to be done there, in that museum, in that room, probably down to the minute of a precise alignment between the Earth and the planet Mars and Jupiter. They planned this out from long in advance. They didn't have to. Why did they have to do this in Denver? Couldn't it have been done just as easily, or, of course, much more easily in Washington,
D.C.? Hold that thought. Well, Mike, I think you're right on, and I certainly I'm glad you brought this up, and I hope that at least we have some of our listeners thinking about it. I'm going to have to let you go because
okay.
We've got one more caller before we wrap up.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and boulder to boulder, we fight as we march towards the foam. Give me stout-hearted men who'll stick together, man to man. And we are in a battle for the survival of Christian civilization. I do believe we can reach the people. I believe most people love America, but they don't understand we're under attack today, not from somebody in Moscow, not from somebody in Beijing, not from somebody in Tehran, not from somebody in a cave in Pakistan, but there's a small group of people who control our government today. And if you haven't read my January 2009 newsletter, well, you need to get a copy of it. It should be posted very soon up on the Internet, and I will try this evening to make sure that it does get posted up there. You can read my November and December 2008 newsletters. It introduces you to the America's invisible government, the people who really run things. We do have an invisible government. they do have a membership list. You can actually get the membership list by going to augustreview.org. That's augustreview.org. Probably augustreview.com. But anyway, it's a Pat Woods website. He's done a great job. And just simply type in August Review, a membership list, Trilateral Commission. You'll pull it down. Go through them. You'll find the people who control the great banks are there. The people who control the major media are there. The people who control Barack Obama are there. There are only 87 of them. And yet they're there in this little 87-member organization that was organized, according to Senator Barry Goldwater, to actually seize control of the American government, and they've done it. And the fact you're not hearing about this from Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, or any of the other so-called conservative leaders is because they are simply under the control of the same people who control the people on the far left. You have the far left, your Al Frankens, and your other people that we associate with the left, and then you have your people associated with the right. Neither one of them are going to tell you. You have the truth because we have a controlled opposition. That's why you need to get our material. Let me suggest the DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, The Atlantis Connection, The Emergence, The Story of the Coming of the Antichrist, the DVD sets put out by our good friend Pastor Billy Crone, the Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2, each has 5 DVDs in it. We watch them, his DVDs almost every evening. We actually have his DVDs on the creation. We think it's an important subject. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get any of these items. And then, of course, we'd point out to you that we do actually have an association with Ready Reserve Foods, and if you haven't laid in your long-term food storage, you really should lay in some things, and we don't know what's going to happen. Hope and pray you'll never need them, but far better to need them and not have them than to, to not need them and have them than to need them and not have them. And so if you'd like to get a catalog, why, give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you one. 1-800-544-8927, and you'll get the same wholesale prices from us that you will from them. But then the other issue that we mentioned, you should need a Berkey water filter, you need your home supplies. But then, of course, you need to be sure you have a proper relationship with our Lord, because this truly is a spiritual battle. And there really are spiritual forces out there aligned against freedom in the United States. So again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bill Sardi, who, of course, sends me articles almost half a dozen a day on what's going on economically, and who senses, as I do, that we are facing the greatest economic collapse probably in all of recorded history. I mean, there's never been anything like this, at least going back for 300 years. I mean, certainly there was a gradual decline of the markets and of the economy during the Great Depression, but we are seeing really an amazing drop, of course, in factory production. We mentioned at the beginning of the last program that if you look at factory production in Taiwan, year on year down 43%, in Ukraine down 34%, in Japan, the second largest economy in the world, factory production is down 30%, down 9% in Singapore, 23% in Hungary. In other words, the factories are just not turning out because they've got no place to send their products. And, of course, this is what's happening to China. This is why they have 20 million people unemployed. This is why they've closed down 125,000 factories. This is why they have buildings built up all over Beijing and nobody to sell them to. They got a 14-year supply of office buildings there. They're not going to be able to build any more buildings in Beijing for 14 years. They have overbuilt. They stimulated the economy, and now the whole economy of China, indeed the whole economy of the world, is collapsing. With that as a background, Bill Sardi, thank you so very much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. And for your audience, I would like to do a quiz at the top of your show.
All right, go right ahead.
The quote I'm going to quote, the question is, who said it? Owners of capital will stimulate the working class to buy more and more expensive goods, houses, and technology, pushing them to make more and more expensive credits until their debt becomes unbearable. The unpaid debt will lead to bankruptcy of banks, which will have to be nationalized, and the state will have no option than to take the road which will eventually lead to communism.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know who said that, but why don't we ask your the guests, if anybody out there knows who said that.
Was it Ronald Reagan?
Oh, okay.
Alan Greenspan? Ben Bernanke? Let me say parts of it again. Owners of capital will stimulate the working class to buy more and more expensive goods, houses, and technology, pushing them to take more and more expensive credits until their debt becomes unbearable. The unpaid debt will lead to bankruptcy of banks, which will have to be nationalized, and the state will have no option than to take the road which will eventually lead to communism. Who said it, and who said it was in 1867? Karl Marx in his book, Das Kapital. And there you have it.
Okay, the last thing that we ought to be doing is talking about nationalizing our banks. That is the path to a communist society. So why is everybody talking about nationalizing our banks? In fact, in many respects, this is what we've done. We've stepped in and bought up 60 or 70% of AIG and probably 40 or 50% of Citigroup. Why are we doing this?
Communism.
Right.
Communism.
Right.
Once we understand the word, we might understand where it's all taking.
And, of course, I've been to the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations at 58 East 68th Street there in New York City. And do you know what their most treasured possession is? It's a copy of their magazine, Foreign Affairs, that Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, read back in the early 1920s. They keep it under glass there as a common memento to the man they respect so much. Well, Bill, go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, of course, we have a new president, and in just 5 weeks, he's spread a lot of turmoil. Even people in his own party beginning to take a step back as Obama's budget team does all kinds of card tricks in order to balance a budget that cannot be balanced or to make it look like something progressive and helpful as being is underway. And of course, the idea is to make it look like we're going to come out of this next year, this terrible downturn in the whole world's economy. And one way they've done it, as pointed out by some experts looking at the new budget, is they just overinflated the size of our future military operations, then reduced and cut those, making it look like a false cut in our government spending. And so they're playing tricks, sleight of hand here in the budget. And, of course, they're predicting that next year the economy will grow by 3.2%, when it's remarkable that what we've actually faced here is that they had predicted our economy would drop by 3.8%, and then, finally, it's 6.2%, almost doubled. They said 3.8, it really turned out to be 6.2% in the last quarter here of the year. And, of course, now, with this dismal kind of a projection, somehow President Obama suggests that our economy will snap back by 3.2% to the plus side in the beginning of 2010, with absolutely no substantiation behind this whatsoever. And, of course, one week he plunges a country that is in terrible debt, $800 billion more in debt, and risks the possibility we may not even be able to raise the bonds and the money for that debt. And then the very next week says he's cutting the size of government, which turned out to be nothing but a tax increase on the rich. So, you know, it's said one way and it actually is something another way. And, of course, it gets more absurd as we go on and read everything that is unfolding in front of us. And one of them was, if you can imagine now, we've taken how many hundreds of billions of dollars to refund our banks because they have no real reserves of their own. And they've had to get money out of the Federal Reserve. And they've been given that money at 0% interest. And then a sudden report here, now from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, what you see on the front of banks, the FDIC that insures all your accounts in banks.
Bill, hold that thought. We've got to bring our students on board. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Bill Sardi simply talking about the fact that Barack Obama, you know, is giving us this massive stimulus bill that will do nothing but stimulate inflation. And then, of course, he keeps talking about how we're going to balance the budget here in a few years. And yet, of course, he's massively increasing spending. And you can't balance the budget and cut taxes and then expect to balance the budget off the backs of the very wealthy, because they will always find means of not paying their taxes. It's just that simple. You raise the taxes, they'll find a means around it. They always have, they always will, and they always leave loopholes for the very wealthy. Have you ever noticed that? And then the politicians say, oh, shucks, why, we never expected that to happen. And when Barack Obama says, I'm only going to tax the wealthy, those making individually $200,000 a year, or a couple's $250,000, those are the only ones we're going to tax. Remember, with inflation, and we're moving towards inflation, why probably the vast majority of the people here listening to this program, and within 3 years, will be in that tax bracket of $250,000. Of course, a Big Mac may cost you $100, but you're going to get to enjoy those tax increases that are only for the wealthy. Go right ahead.
One of the things we've become quite aware of is the government bailout of the banks by hundreds of billions of dollars. And of course, this has been necessary because they didn't have the required reserves. They're supposed to have about 10% of the deposits in the bank in reserve, and then they loan out about the other 90%, something roughly like that. And of course, they didn't have any reserves. They needed, of course, to be funded to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. And yet the FDIC, this is this organization that insures all the deposits in the banks for you, releases their report on the last quarter of 2008, and they point out that the personal savings increased in U.S. banks from 0.1% to 5%. Now that's a, I believe, a 50 times increase, and the the personal savings increased in banks by $545 billion. Now, this is according to an article in MarketWatch, CBS's MarketWatch. The FDIC report didn't quote it at that high. They quoted it at $305 billion. Where did the money come from? Where did everybody all of a sudden sock money into their bank accounts? I think you might know, if you think hard, where did the money come from? Why, it came from people divesting and getting out of the stock market. Neither the FDIC nor the news reports wanted to reveal it to us because, of course, it'll crash the market even more. So they had to hide it. CBS MarketWatch just saying, well, people took their cost of living raises at the end of the year and put it in as an explanation into the banks. Now, the banks are very shaky, and I think you're going to see a movement by the public. Now that this money is out of the stock market and the banks, their next move is where to take it and pull it out of the banks. But the banks, what I just told you, just got capitalized by the people. What did we need a bailout program for if the public put in $545 billion into the banks? There's something very strange going on here, and I'm the only one reporting it. Why? I don't know and I don't understand, and the banks have been made very whole by an operation that has nothing to do with government and everything to do with private enterprise and just people doing what they normally do, trying to protect their assets, getting it out of the stock market. Obviously, they're not reporting that part and putting hundreds of billions of dollars into the banks. Now, you may ask, if you haven't been listening, sometimes when I talk shows trying to explain why the banks are frozen and can't loan money out, 70% of the profits that banks make are from real estate loans. They want to write a loan, and it'll have your name on it, and it'll even say 4%. Wow, a 4% loan? If everybody could refinance their homes at 4%, game over, we wouldn't have all this trouble. Well, then, why are we having so much trouble? Well, it's because they don't know the value of the homes. And as according to the Obama administration, they're putting the banks through a stress test to see if they can handle another 22% drop in the value of the mortgaged homes that they're holding. Other branches of government are saying really it ought to be 29%, so they're kind of using two different numbers here. But you can see that our homes, as we know them, probably ours too, are going to drop another 22 to 29%, and that's the problem. A bank cannot write a loan today for $500,000 knowing the home will only be worth, let's say, $350,000 in a few months. So therefore, banks can't commit suicide. They're not going to issue loans. On the other hand, the depositors have just put in $545 billion more money into the banks, and they have to pay interest on that. The banks do. Now tell me, how are the banks going to pay you the 2 or 3% interest on your savings when they can't generate any profits? They're obviously in a real tight situation. If they offer loans, they're going to lose money. And if they don't make loans, they're going to lose money. They have no way out of this. The only way out of this has been pointed out by world economists. The banks must face the music, take a write-down on their books for all the decreased assets, which they refuse to do. So when you read what the assets of that bank are, they're going to diminish by billions and billions and billions of dollars. And until they do that, what we have today is the federal government has decided to bail out the banks instead of our economy. And our economy is being tanked, and you, as the citizens, are being tanked, and all they've saved is the banks. And this is all temporary because the banks have no way long-term to survive unless they take the write-down on their books. And if they write down the value of your home, they have to write down the value of all the other homes in your area, and they know this. This is how it's done. And they don't want to do it. And so what we're facing is just a bunch of chickens hiding their head in the sand and don't want to pull it out, but someday they're going to have to. And all of this is going to collapse, and most of the major banks are going to fail. And there's no way out of this. What I want to know is, how are we going to save the trillions and trillions of dollars of people's personal savings. There's about $131 billion at risk that's uninsured in the banks. That is, people are insured up to $250,000 now for a single tax account number. But there's $131 billion over that amount in banks right now. So quite a bit at risk for people that's uninsured. And, of course, we have trillions of dollars of people's money in banks. And, of course, if those banks fail, the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, only has $18 billion left. And, of course, they could just eat that up on any day that they decide to close a few more of these banks. They say we have 225 problem banks now, maybe 250, some numbers say. But actually, there's 2,682 unprofitable banks in the United States. That's up from 1,775 in the third quarter of last year, up to 2,682 the fourth quarter of last year. So there are a number, there are about 8,300 banks in the country, and about 2,500 of them are unprofitable. The list is going to continue to grow, and you can imagine what the FDIC must do is borrow trillions of dollars from the Federal Reserve. This was done way back in the savings and loan scandal in the 1980s. But never anything on this scale, trillions of dollars they would have to bail out, get from the Federal Reserve to make sure that the accounts in your bank are safe. And I think for a lot of people, they're going to slowly start pulling some cash out of those banks and hiding it under mattresses. And some people are going to go be buying gold, as we see, or precious metals, silver dollars, and so on, trying to protect their money. And, of course, you can imagine the big problem, who's going to protect the people's money and who actually has pockets that are that deep.
Well, of course, not all
of China, not all of the Asian banking systems. Nobody does, and I don't know how we're going to keep the public from having their bank accounts vanquished. As I say this, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy as people get nervous and, of course, may want to pull their money out of the banks, making it, of course, obvious. But yet we won't say anything to people. We don't want to make them nervous to pull their money out of the banks. Well, they put it all in, frankly, and it more is at risk, and I just cannot see how any of these banks are going to survive. Not any of them. There are a few that didn't get into mortgage loans, the subprime mortgage business, and there's a few of them that are foreign banks or credit unions or farmers and merchants commercial banks that didn't get into this home loan crisis. Other than those, the rest are at high risk of failure, and the question is, will the FDIC have enough money to insure your account? They try and assure you that there is no way, there is not enough money in the world to do this.
Well, of course, what they're going to do, Bill, I'm sure you realize they're going to simply start printing money to, this is the only way out. Certainly the savings and loan debacle, I think it was about $600 billion. Today we're talking about literally hundreds of trillions of dollars when you get into the derivatives that are going to default. And of course we've accepted responsibility for AIG. We think we put in over $150 billion. But this is just the beginning. We've agreed to put in over $300 billion into Citigroup. And that's just the beginning.
Britain just said they're going to start the printing presses. They don't have enough money and they're in worse shape than we are.
And, of course, what this does is eventually destroy the value of the currency. So a lot of people are going into treasury bonds, treasury bills. I mean, here's something that's safe, the value of the dollar is going up, great investment. But, of course, as you destroy the value of the currency, you'll get your money back on the treasury bonds. But, you know, it may not buy a hamburger for you, or it may not buy you a cup of coffee, you know, at Starbucks for less than $100, $150. We are started on the slippery slope to destruction of the value of our currency, debauching our currency, and our leaders know exactly what they're doing, and that's what they want to do, destroy our currency. Well, Bill, you pick the story up from there.
Well, of course, there's three things that banks don't ever want to happen. That's money.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
And one of the things, of course, traditionally has been safe in inflationary times has been gold and silver. And, of course, basically, of course, a lot of people have been buying into the exchange-traded funds, the so-called ETF funds. But, of course, we don't even know if that gold is really there. They tell us it's there, but, of course, they tell us about all the gold they have. But do they really have the gold, or do they simply have some sort of a paper receipt for it, or have they let the gold out, of course, to the gold dealers? And this is another scam. So you never really know. And remember what happened to the people who invested with Mr. Madoff. Do you really want to invest in an exchange-traded fund when you don't know whether they have any gold or not, and nobody really knows? But you pick up the story, Bill.
People may want to know, why do we have a temporary period of deflation? Well, companies are kind of getting rid of their inventories And there's a lot of competition now as people drop their prices. And, of course, we see all of this kind of thing, the gasoline prices are down temporarily and so on. But as new money flows into any system, and the Chinese were smart enough in their growth years to hold 26% of their money that they were making in trade with the United States aside so that this new money didn't flood their system and cause inflation. But if they should ever get this TARP funds, the hundreds of billions of dollars they gave the bank, into the system, it becomes 10 times more troublesome through fractional banking, and a flood of money is going to hit the United States, and then you're going to have massive inflation. So you actually should pray that money never gets used in the system. A lot of the banks have turned it back to the government to hold for them. A lot of them are not using it, keeping it in separate accounts, because they know this is the government's way to take them over, is to get into their machinery, into their workings of the bank. The federal government has said they do not want to nationalize the banks in the true sense of running them, because they don't have the capability of running it. They just want to regulate them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, whether it's government regulating small business, whether they're regulating banks, whether they're regulating oil companies, whether they're regulating companies that make electricity, there's a point where you get where they're allowing you to have your own business, allowing you to have your own home. But you're so regulated. And do you know what they call that kind of a society? I know a lot of us have seen Newsweek magazine saying America slipped into a full socialist society. Ladies and gentlemen, we won't admit as Americans that we have become a fascist country. Look up the definition of fascism, an overall, overarching, hierarchical authority who allows only you to have private ownership, but they run the whole thing. And, of course, by onerous taxes and all this that they're attempting to do now, America is slipping past socialism and is already in to fascism. And if you don't understand what it means, you'd need to come from a country where this all occurred to understand it. This has slipped past our generation. We don't even know what the word is. We can't even fathom that a country with an American flag, a constitution, a Bill of Rights, has slipped into being nothing more than a fascist state. And, of course, as we see this all unravel, and we see them unable to bring the whole world out of this terrible downturn in the economy, and where you see they're just making it up day by day, making it worse and worse, not any better. And, of course, this gets into some scenarios that get rather, well, difficult to even imagine as to what they're going to do. I mean, we now have, the president and his advisor saying maybe we all get a voucher for our health care, so everybody gets free health care. How does a government that is broke hand out free health care and a voucher to everybody? This would mean there's no private insurance, there's no Medicaid, there's no Medicare. Everybody just has a voucher, and you can go wherever you want. That's fine. I'd love to do this in a utopian society. Where does the money come from?
And, of course, what you really are talking about is rationing of health care. They tell you, oh, you can get all of, we want health care for everybody. But if you look at what this is about, it's about rationing health care. The committee
is going to... It's about controlling health care, and once they've got that voucher, you're going to see that this is going to be a regimented health care. Everybody's going to have to do what the government says. You're going to have a statin drug to get life insurance. You're going to have vaccinations for your kids to get into school. All of these things. And what happens when an authority tells you you have to vaccinate your kids? That's my definition again. It's a fascist state.
But even more than that, of course, is they're going to limit access to health care for older people. This is already in the plan, but they're not going to tell you about that. We're this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi. Hitler's Germany, they called the people useless eaters. They were old, they were non-productive, and they simply let them die. Certainly if they had emotional problems, if they had any psychological problems, but even many of the elderly, they were not productive to society, and they let them die. They're already talking about that here in the United States. And you're not even going to be able to go out and purchase your own health care. They're going to restrict that because, after all, there are too many older people. They're taking advantage of Social Security. The whole system's going to collapse. We're going to have to refashion it, and we're going to have to ration access to health care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's really all about, a fascist society. And the people will be so grateful if they can get any health care at all. This is exactly what they intend. They put aside $20 billion to set this program up to ration access to health care. But, of course, you're not hearing about that from the controlled media. Go right ahead, Bill.
What fascist countries do is find scapegoats. Now, we're familiar with the military operations and all of the mechanisms of Nazism and Germany and Hitler, and of course the scapegoat there were the Jews. And but who's the scapegoat in this fascist state? And now we find it's becoming clear it's those people who make more than $250,000 a year. They're the scapegoats. And for many of us who haven't made money all of our lives and seen others make so much more, as we complain about this gap between the rich and poor, and it certainly has widened. I don't know whether that's licensed to go take someone else's money that they made. I don't know. I don't know that government getting it from the rich means it's ever going to get to you. I don't know that, you know, government adds about 30% to the overhead of anything, and government is going to take money out of the system. You're taking capital away by increasing taxes on the rich. How do you recapitalize the country? How do you start small businesses that employ people if you're taking the capital away? Now, you know, the new scapegoat is anybody making over $250,000 a year. The masses, of course, think of this as, let's get them, let's get the money. The masses don't understand that the rich people couldn't possibly fund the trillions of dollars of debts we're into. We have many public pension plans completely underfunded. The Medicare and Social Security programs, $75 trillion underfunded.
Hold on, Bill. We'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty, and we'll, of course, be taking calls. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, just talking about the massive underfunding of the pension funds. Where's the money going to come from? We're talking about trillions of dollars that they're short on. Certainly, we're talking about the cost of free health care for everybody. We're talking about trillions of dollars. Where's the money coming from? They've already, within just this last about 16 months, pledged over $10 trillion, either given, lent, or promised over $10 trillion. But where's the money come from? And nobody wants to ask that. Well, do you have a website or telephone number, Bill? Somebody just called in and asked.
You know, people do want to talk to me, and I'll try and give out my email address, which is B, like in Bill, Sardi, S as in Sam, A-R-D-I, bsardi@aol.com. You can reach me that way. Try and communicate with me in some way. I do have a website that sells health books, naturalhealthlibrarian.com. Maybe try and reach me there and send me an email. I'd be happy to communicate with you. But, you know, what is interesting is, as we see all of this, is that, as you know, many of you know, I am primarily a health journalist. I just get digging into all these resources of information, trying to share it with you on the economy. And, of course, I'm dismayed to see all this happening as we see things happening in our country that we would have never imagined would have happened in our lifetime. Our country as we know it is being taken away from us, and we seem to have no way of grasping and bringing it back. And of course, what we have now is a fascist state. And of course, I was very interested in the San Francisco Chronicle writing an article by Louis Seiler and Dan Hamburg. And, you know, this is a newspaper that's due to go out of business, actually. and I thought they had a very bold article, and they wrote something rather concerning, a rule by fear or rule by law. And I'll quote a little bit from them. Since 9/11, and seemingly without the notice of most Americans, the federal government has assumed the authority to institute martial law. That's what you're going to find if they need to close the banks, arrest a wide swath of dissidents, and detain people without legal or constitutional recourse in the event of an emergency, such as an influx of immigrants to the U.S. or any other so-called emergency type of event. And they point out that since 1999, the government has had a bunch of single-bid contracts with Halliburton, which is the organization that was owned in part by our former vice president, Dick Cheney, and they have a program called Endgame in order to get rid of potential terrorists and remove all aliens. And the potential terrorists turns out to be a list of people, anybody that gave money to a charity that turns up on a terrorist organization, such as, well, companies or organizations dealing with the environment or animal rights and so on. Now, all these kinds of things are potential terrorists, and then how they could lock up all these kinds of people. Now, these are organizations, usually the animal rights groups are pretty left-wing type of thing, and yet they're on the list. Now, I thought Obama's characterized that administration's kind of a leftist, rather non-conservative, liberal group, and yet they're going after, possibly, the very left-wing themselves in this whole thing.
Well, because I really fear that they're also going to go after Christians. I know that Janet Reno, I said that, you know, anybody, of course, you know, Christians, anybody who talked about the Constitution, potential terrorists, Christian identity movement, potential terrorists.
Well, there's a National Counterterrorism Center, according to this article in the San Francisco Chronicle. They already have 775,000 terror suspects' names on it, and they're adding 20,000 a month. Would those be the people they're going to slam into these, government compounds, detention camps? I don't know, but they seem to be making a list already. They seem to be building the places, and they seem to want to say that anybody who speaks out against the government, it would be put on this kind of a list.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'd like to know if you share Bill's concerns. I share his concerns. I think that we are moving towards a dictatorship. Just this last week, Zygmunt Brzezinski, who's one of the spokesmen, one of the chief people for this whole cabal that controls our country and precipitated this crisis, was talking about how we're going to have civil unrest and violence in our streets. Why is he saying that? Because he's trying to promote that. Why would they want to promote it? So they can get martial law. These people are thinking three steps ahead of us. Understand, the one thing they want is a dictatorship in America. They want power, and this is what it's about.
Well, if all the banks are going to collapse and the people's personal savings just be vanquished and disappear, I can see that they would really want to grab a hold of the people right away. Now, if I told you lived in a country where one out of every 31 people are locked up in jail, where they've established a central command place where they can watch all the people to make sure they don't get out of line, would you think that was the United States? Because we have one out of every 31 Americans locked up in prison. They're thinking of letting some of them out. They can't afford to keep them in anymore. And we have this command central in our, Colorado, and it's really, they're just intimidating us everywhere we go, from airports to whatever. We're getting intimidated. They're not protecting us. They're intimidating us.
Well, the figure is actually 1 in 31 of people, or 33 people in prison, probation or parole, but they're part of the prison system, which is just the same. In fact, it's 1 of every 3 young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation or parole, part of the prison system, and certainly 1 in 100 Americans is in prison, but 1 in 33 or 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. Why do we ever talk about that? And then we wonder why it's costing so much for the prison system. And how many of those people are innocent people who are political dissidents? You don't think they put people who are political dissidents in prison? You ought to hear the courtesy of the story of George Hansen, a congressman. And they put him in prison because he filled out a form incorrectly. He filled it out just as he was told to by the FEC, whatever the government committee was. Every other congressman filled it out the same, but they didn't like George Hansen. They sent him to prison and tortured him for 10 years before they finally said, "Oh, shucks, George, we're sorry. Why, we made a mistake. The law really didn't apply to you. Sorry, George, your health is ruined. You've been bankrupted. You have scars from the torture, but we're so sorry. You weren't guilty at all." And they destroyed George Hansen, and they will destroy anybody, and ladies and gentlemen, a country that will destroy an honest man and send him to prison when there is no crime committed. He supposedly filled out a form, but he did it exactly as he was told to do. Why is any man's family or property safe? We have evil people at the highest levels of our government. We need to get back to our Constitution and limit the power of government and sure do away with most of those forms that they want us to fill out. And most people can't even figure out the forms. In fact, they intentionally make the IRS forms impossible to understand simply to intimidate the people and strike fear in their hearts. Fear of the government. Go ahead. A government where the people fear the government. Why, of course, there's tyranny when the government fears the people. There's liberty. Go right ahead, Bill.
I was interested in a report here just this evening. As you know, Countrywide Financial, or Countrywide Savings, you may have heard about. Countrywide Financial was not the bank, the savings bank, but the division that did all the loans here in Calabasas, California, here in Southern California. And you heard about them. They eventually had to merge with Bank of America. And, of course, they were the ones, the leading company, among others, that gave out a type of loan to expand credit to Americans who really didn't have the incomes, and they came with low-interest teaser rates and so on. And people, of course, got sucked into these loans. And eventually, as the interest rates went up in these subprime loans, why then, of course, they couldn't pay their mortgages. And we now have 1 million homes in America that have foreclosed, and Business Week said it was 5.9 million more to come. The Obama administration admits it's more like 9 million more to come. There is a tsunami wave ready to hit our country in home foreclosures that hits the banks and then hits us because our money's in the banks. And there, of course, everyone's at risk because of this, and so little of that tsunami has even hit the shore yet, and so we haven't got a clue what's really going to hit us. But I'm reading this article about Countrywide Financial and how they put out all these loans, and who was the person running this? Well, there was a man there, Angelo Mozzillo. He was the CEO, but the president was Stanford Kurland. He was Countrywide's former president. What's he doing today? He's formed another company, and it's called PennyMac, and it's the Private National Mortgage Acceptance Company. That's what that stands for. And he's now buying up foreclosed homes for investors, the very people that he issued mortgages to, rotten mortgages that made these people eventually lose their fortunes, declare bankruptcy, go into foreclosure, be left out on the street, and now this very man is picking up those houses for pennies on the dollar, and he's gone back into business to buy up foreclosed homes. It's outrageous. I can't believe it.
And you know, the thing is, Bill, that nobody is being held responsible for this. What about the people who sold these fraudulent loans? Have any of them been indicted and sent to prison? No. What about the people who gave the AAA ratings, the Moody's and the Standard & Poor, gave AAA ratings to homes with mortgages that they knew could never be paid off because the people didn't have sufficient funds to do it? Of course, these were bundled loans. But then, and how about the people who wrote the derivatives, the insurance policies that said you don't have to worry about these collateralized debt obligations of this 100 or 200 mortgages here, because we will stand behind it. We give you an insurance policy, but they just never mentioned they didn't have any money behind the insurance company. Who would buy fire insurance from a company that didn't have any reserves? Who would buy the health insurance from a company that didn't have any reserves? And yet that's what happened. So who's been held responsible? Have you noticed that nobody's been held responsible?
Well, not even Mr. Madoff, who had his Ponzi scheme. No one's being held accountable. None of the bank presidents took out their bonuses before these banks went down, seemed to know what was happening in advance. I'm concerned about all the elites taking care of themselves, whether it's government or whatever. Business Week pointing out it's the lobbyists in Washington, D.C., who have bought off our congressmen, and these are the lobbyists for the banking industry, and that's why you see all this irresponsibility. And, of course, it's terrible, and then we have hearings in Washington that seem to be just charades, just pretend. And then the public thinks something happened, and then nothing happened. And, of course, I know you're all dismayed. You want to know, Bill, what would you do? Well, I do have some thoughts. There are some easier ways to go about all this. What if the government just gave us a tax rebate for 3 years directly to us? And we were required to show our tax man that we spent 50% of that tax rebate to pay down our debts, you know, our car bills and our credit cards and our mortgages. And then the banks, the money would flow to them that way instead of loading them up on the other side. And you see, then the people wouldn't have so much debt, and all of this would get fixed. Notice, they haven't given you a tax rebate. They're increasing your taxes. And that would be a simple way to take care of this whole thing. It would bring capital into the system. Most of the employment in this country is small business. It needs capital to think of new and innovative ways we can bring about employment in this country. Notice, they're not doing that. They're taking the capital out of the system with tax increases. What makes you think you're going to get that money back as it flows through government? You may feel, well, gee, the rich have all the money and it never seems to get to me. And I'm very interested in two things when we think of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And it, we don't like to think that people in the bottom of the ladder are getting shoved further down. But wouldn't that have obviously happened as we bring more poor immigrants in here who can't even speak our language? Wouldn't there be a bigger gap? Certainly there would, and there has been, because we brought in unskilled people.
But, of course, Bill, the real reason is they want to force the wages down in this country.
Well, surely they do, but why are we scapegoating the people that make more than $250,000 when it's the bankers who vanquished your value of your money in the bank through inflation over year after year after year?
Well, of course, the whole idea is to distract people from a real understanding of what's going on. Right now, we've got Robert calling from Washington State. Let's take Robert's call. We're running out of time. Hi, Robert. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. I follow the news all the time, listen to the regular mainstream media, and listen to shows like yours. I have not heard in the last 4 months not one announcer or news person say, where is this money going to come from? Is there a downside? If there is a downside, what is it? Not
well, one. Robert, you obviously haven't heard our program because we keep saying,
well, I've heard you say that. I compliment you.
Okay,
you're a fantastic guest. I'm talking about the Main Street.
All right, fine. I think that's a very legitimate criticism. They just want to pretend that money comes out of nothing. They can just produce all the money they want to, and it's sort of like trying to fight a fire with gasoline. It doesn't work. We have a problem created by too much credit, and now we're going to throw more artificial money at it. Do you have a question for our guest?
I just wanted to say that in the prophet Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge.
My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge, and that's absolutely true, and that's what's going on.
So he's talking, I believe, about Christian people, and I hate to say it, Dr. Stan, but the Christian church blends in very well with the non-church.
Right.
Look at any facet of life, debt, other other problems, other vices, and it blends in real well.
Well, do we understand the small churches in the country are going to have a hard time staying in what I would say business, because many of their people that give to the church are certainly going to have less giving and so on. And the big box churches may be in debt and so on. They'll have to be disbanded and so on. So we're going to see a fundamental change in American churches. We're going to need to have churches in the home. And I know we're getting close to the end of the hour. I want to read that quote again. Owners of capital will stimulate the working class to buy more and more expensive goods, houses, and technology, pushing them to take more and more expensive credits until their debt becomes unbearable, and the unpaid debt will lead to bankruptcy of banks, which will have to be nationalized, and the state will have no option than to take the road, which will eventually lead to communism, all written by Karl Marx in Das Kapital, written in 1867.
Hang on there, Bill, and thanks very much for calling, Robert. I agree with you. I share your concern. Well, Bill, we've got...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Satan, why we carry that to Radio Liberty, we think it's important. We think it's important that you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You cannot understand the forces behind the wicked people who are intent upon destroying our economy. People say, well, I think we ought to do this, we ought to nationalize the banks, we ought to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, the last thing we want to do is nationalize the banks. People say, well, what's the solution? And the solution is the whole thing is going to have to collapse and we're going to have to start in all over again. This is what always happens when you have a fiat money system. And if you go up in the internet and you Google in Ron Paul YouTube Paul Volcker, you'll hear Paul Volcker talking about, you know, the fact that there is no plan to do anything, and that we have a fiat money system, and when you have a fiat money system, you have to watch the currency very carefully, and we haven't watched it. He's been one of the architects of this whole system designed to destroy our economy. Why would any rational person want to do that? Very simply, we are not dealing with rational people. We're dealing with an elitist group who have made provisions for themselves and their families, and now they're going to destroy our system, impoverish our people, and we will be willing to accept this fascist society as simply one more state in this new world order they plan to bring in. Now, how many of the people in the elite group understand the spiritual forces behind this? I do not know. Some of them may very well be simply operating without understanding the spiritual forces that energizes them. But if you want to understand what this is about, go up on the internet and type in the word Lucius Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Trust, Lucifer, and simply put that in and you'll go to their website. They tell you all about Lucifer. And, of course, they have a link there that tells you that Lucifer just got a bad rap. He really wasn't such a bad angel at all. He was willing to make terrible sacrifice and endure tremendous suffering because he loves the people so much. You must understand that there are people who have a different view. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our new DVD, the Eye of the Phoenix. You need to get, of course, the two previous DVDs in the series, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, Eye of the Phoenix, and then, of course, you'll want to get the ones that we produced, nowhere near the quality of the others, but certainly the Atlantis Connection, put out. It's a talk given by Chris Pinto, who put together the three previous DVDs, and then, of course, The Emergence with Constance Cumby, and a four-tape set on the Aquarian Conspiracy. There really is a conspiracy out there. It is a conspiracy against the God of the Bible. And when you understand that, so many things make sense. You want to get the DVDs we have, Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone, Part 1 and Part 2, each with five DVDs. You may very well want to get his sets on the Creation, Part 1 and Part 2, and his one set on the RFID chips. They're planning on having everything shipped and identified, just as we're told in the Holy Scriptures. You want to get our information on the supernatural. You want to get our book, the Satanic Crimes, and the four tape set that goes with that, a four CD set. You want to get the book Hostage to the Devil, and of course the four tape set that goes with that, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. You want to get the book, The Diary of a Devil Hunter, written by Gregory Reed, who is deeply involved in the occult. And, of course, he would go around talking to police forces about satanic crimes. You need to understand that Charles Manson and David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller, they were all involved in a secret society known as the Church, pardon me, the name escapes me right now, the Process Church of the Latter-day Saints.